This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Oil's wild ride in the market and what it means for your ride. From Marketplace, I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio. We are closing out another wild week in the stock markets and for the price of oil. Right now, U.S. crude is just under $47 a barrel after bouncing around in recent days. Let's explore what's going on with Richard Mallinson, geopolitical analyst at Energy Aspects in London. Hello, Richard.
Hello.
So we have seen some fairly dramatic swings in the price of oil this week. What's driving the volatility there?
We had, I think after the sort of Black Monday around the Chinese stock market, we had a re-evaluation of the level of risk there. We've continued to have a series of different macro factors affecting prices and across different commodity markets. But also on Monday evening, we saw US production numbers being revised quite significantly downwards. But mostly this still appears to be macro factors rather than fundamentals that are driving the size of the swings that we're seeing in daily prices.
And you mentioned a couple of supply factors there, but later this morning we'll get the latest jobs numbers here in the States, which can have some implications on the demand side for oil. So what are oil markets watching for as we get the latest hint as to how the U.S. economy is doing later today?
There's obviously the direct correlation with U.S. demand, which has been performing strongly over the course of this year. But I think possibly the bigger factor that the market will be looking for is what signal that jobs number sends in terms of the Fed and raising interest rates. So actually a very positive number might mean that we're more likely to see a rate rise in September. That may be the thing that we see more price reaction in oil markets than the sort of underlying health of the U.S. economy.
Richard Mallinson with Energy Aspects. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks down in global trading. The UK's FT 100 down 1.7%. Germany's DAX down 2.2%. Asian markets also closed lower. Wall Street futures point to a lower opening, down around 1.1%, though that could change when job numbers come out later this morning. As drivers get ready to get on the road for Labor Day trips, forecasters predict gas prices may hit their lowest levels in a decade. Drivers in parts of the country are paying less than $2 a gallon. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
It's always the unofficial end of the summer. Kids are back in school and it's getting cooler. Now that gas is cheaper, people have more money to spend on other stuff. But Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy says even if gas prices were a dollar higher like they were last year, Americans would still be hitting the road.
Low prices do certainly spawn some demand, but it's mostly during the warm season that we see that additional demand and far less in the winter.
But is there a tipping point at which gas is considered cheap? David Spence, a professor of law and regulation at the University of Texas, says it might be $2.
But I don't think of it as necessarily a threshold issue. The lower the price goes, the more we drive. And that's traditionally been true.
The glut in crude oil is helping spur lower gas prices. But Patrick DeHaan says it's a little more complicated.
Everyone is obsessed with the price of oil, but some do forget that that oil must be refined before it's something that we can fill our tanks with.
And after Labor Day, those refineries will be able to switch to a cheaper blend of gas, which means prices will probably keep dropping. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership, the pending trade agreement between the U.S. and 11 other countries, will include a chapter dedicated to small business. That's a first for a trade agreement of this kind. When it comes to the dollar value of exports, big companies drive most cross-border business. American trade officials want to make it easier for small business to go global. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson brings us two American companies learning just how tricky it can be to sell abroad.
Two exporters, similar challenges, different decisions about whether selling abroad is worth it.
What we're doing here is the nuts come in, we remove the husk. First up, Hamakua Macadamia Nut Company, where nuts and cracked brown shells ride down a conveyor belt. The company has a staff of 55, and President Richard Snitzler says they process 2.5 million pounds of nuts per year.
We sell them locally, but we really, really need to get more into Asia and other places.
Customs can be complicated, tariffs expensive, but he'd like to export more. On the other hand, Melanie Boudar, who owns Sweet Paradise Chocolatier, tried her first export last year and came to the opposite conclusion. Her company is just four people.
It was a lot of extra work where we didn't get paid any extra.
Then there were the tariffs.
For them, it really made the product very expensive.
So going forward, she'll likely stay domestic. U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman wants companies like Richard's and Melanie's to have an easier time tapping foreign markets.
Particularly since 95% of all the global consumers live outside the U.S.
Froman says the TPP would make it easier for smaller companies to export by reducing tariffs and easing regulations. It should give them better information about how their products will be treated.
Large companies have the capacity, have the resources to hire staff to navigate regulations in other countries. Small businesses don't.
The TPP is going to help, but I don't think it's going to be a dramatic game changer for small businesses.
Ishwar Prasad, a professor at Cornell, says many TPP countries already have relatively low tariffs. Even with the agreement, small businesses would still have other hurdles.
Financing, the ability to scale up their production lines. So a lot of that, including wage costs, relates to domestic conditions.
In other words, exporting might get easier, but not quite all the way to easy. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
And finally, Steve Jobs is coming to a theater near you, and he's going to be there over and over for a while. Today begins the onslaught of movies about Apple's late co-founder. The first is called Steve Jobs, The Man in the Machine, a documentary in theaters today. Then in October, the feature film called Simply Steve Jobs hits theaters with Michael Fassbender in the title role. We've got an interview with the documentary's director, which you can hear at marketplace.org. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Tobin Lowe from the studios at Montclair State University today. I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.